Hello, everyone. This evening, our subject is More Than Conquerors. I'm going to read John chapter 16, verse 33. These things, the Lord is addressing his disciples, these things have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. In this verse, Jesus imparts to his disciples his complete obedience to the Father, whose purpose he has come to fulfill and whose power he is able to execute. He is informing his disciples about his forthcoming death and his provision for them that they might be calm and confident in the face of his crucifixion and apparent disaster. He says, peace, let not your hearts be troubled. The Lord is assuring them that in the hour of his greatest suffering, he has the utmost confidence in the plan of his Father for complete victory. Yes, they will have trials and tribulations, which is inevitable in a world filled with hatred towards God. Nevertheless, he is already proclaiming victory over this world. In the letter to the Romans chapter 8, Paul expounds the wonderful position of the believers. He does not deny that Christians face foes, problems, hardships, etc. He simply shows us our standing and the great victory we have through the death and resurrection of our Savior. The apostle puts it in the form of questions and answers, and we're going to go cover this tonight. So let's look together at few verses in this chapter and marvel at how the Lord, his magnificent work to secure for us an everlasting victory. The first question we find in verse 31. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Friends, God has not given us empty promises. He has already predestined us to become conformed to the image of his Son. He called us, he justified us, and he has already glorified us. And dear believer, rest assured, all his promises shall be ours soon. Bill MacDonald wrote, he has marked us out for himself. Then no one can be successful against us. If omnipotence is working on our behalf, no lesser power can defeat his program. Amen. Now with the cross before us, as a demonstration of God's grace toward us, our Savior will not withhold anything from those who are his. 2 Peter 1:3 explains it more. It says, his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Another question comes. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? That's verse 33. Frankly, no one can successfully press charges, no matter how hard he may try. Satan is trying with all his power to hinder the victorious walk of the saints. In vain, he tries, and he gets nowhere. For our sins, past, present, and future, have been atoned for. And you know that, dear believers. God is the only one who can bring any charges against us, and he refuses to do so. It is God who justifies, and because he is for us, not against us, with Christ on our side, no power in heaven on earth will stand in the way of complete victory. Another question comes. Who is the one who condemns? Verse 34. This question is answered in the death and resurrection of the Lord. He died and took our sins to the grave. He rose to bestow life eternal on those who trust him for salvation. John 11:25 says, "And he has all the power in heaven and on earth to intercede for us at the throne of grace for whatever our need may be." Rejoice, Christian. Satan cannot touch you, nor any power on earth can take away your joy in Christ. The last question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 35. In the verse we read earlier, the Lord predicted trouble for his people, but he encouraged them to be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. There'll be suffering. There'll be afflictions. There'll be heartbreaks and many other things along the way. But his promise to be with us and never to forsake us is always there. Paul adds, are we to be discouraged? He writes in verse 37, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The conclusion is, we win the final victory through Jesus Christ who loves us. Paul couldn't stop there, but he concludes with two verses, his questions and answer, by assuring the believers that our victory is sealed and no one can touch it. In verses 38 and 39, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Rejoice, Christian. Just look for a minute and review the steps of our Lord's historical victory that changed the world forever. I bring for you 4 points. Had victory over the lies and craftiness of the devil. Our Lord had victory over the world of hostilities. He had victory over the words of and its principles. Victory over the prince of this world. And Paul could not stop again. He gives another summary mentioned in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 15. And when you were dead, he says, in your transgressions and the uncircumcision on your flesh, of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Bill MacDonald sums it up for us tonight. No wonder these words of triumph have been the song of those who have died martyrs' death, and the rhapsody of those who have lived martyrs' lives. What can we say to all this? God, if God is for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors. Rejoice, Christian, regardless of what we are going through. Until next time, keep healthy, stay safe, and may the Lord continue to bless you. Amen.